The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. This is the Talk of Our Times.
Wow. We're on the air. It sounds like fun. It sounds like big fun. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, everybody. Thank you for being here. All right. All right. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. A little fanfare there. But this is a talk show. This is an internet talk show, not a music. We don't play music except for maybe the introduction or taking breaks or something like that. But basically, this is an internet talk show, the Wilder, George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am broadcasting out of Chicago. And it's beautiful. I love it. I just love everything about it. And they're saying that we are going to be in for a massive snowfall. I mean, I can hear them in the background on my television set saying that, you know, it's going to be a massive snowstorm starting around 9 o'clock, you know, so. And then some stations, some meteorologists are saying, if I can say it, they're saying that maybe 10 or 11. But in any case, it's coming. By tomorrow, from the reports, we're going to be covered with snow. You know, so, and it's going to get cold. It's going to be a cold as hell. You know, so we're bracing for that. I'm pretty sure a lot of people are getting ready for that. I'm pretty sure IDOT, the city and their tow trucks, I mean, not tow trucks, but snow plows and all this kind of thing, tow truck probably, because they're going to be towing cars that's going to be stuck in ditches. And it's going to be horrible. I'm going to be right here in my studio reporting on it all, you know, so I do have family members out there in the street, right? I'm hoping they get back before the snow is too overwhelming, but they're saying be serious about this, and I'm serious about this. It'll be the first snowfall of this year for Chicago, and in some places I'm hearing that it's happening already. In some places they're saying that it's light, but it soon will be heavy, and it still will be coming towards Illinois. And I'm pretty sure everybody's on bracing themselves for that. I'm bracing myself for that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be beautiful. We cannot complain, actually. It's winter. You know, it's the end of November just about. It's winter. Next week is the last week of November. And it's also going to include Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving, we're going to go volunteer at the community food shelters for 2 days, and we're going to help feed the hungry. And I think that's a lot more than, you know, than a lot of other things. I understand a lot of people going to be, you know, visiting their families and stuff like that. But my family and I, we are going to go and help feed the hungry. We're going to be giving out turkeys, food, all this kind of stuff. So that's going to be a couple of things we're doing, our plans for coming up on Thanksgiving next week. Next week, and this is, in case you don't know, in case you're podcasting this show or downloading this show or listening to it later, today is Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Friday the 20th of November 2015, in case you podcast this show later, you know, next month, next week, or next year, you know the correct date on the show. And I try to do that for all shows, if at all possible. But let me say this again, we are bracing ourselves for heavy winter snow. And one meteorologist said, once the snow falls, it will soon melt. You know, so it's not going to be on the ground forever because the temperatures will rise. Well, you know what? That's remained to be seen. Okay? That's remained to be seen. Let's take care of this snow that's coming, and then we'll talk about what's going to happen after it gets here. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. You can always follow me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I'm all over the place. Google, Instagram, you name it, I'm there. I'm on Amazon.com. You know, check out some of my work, some of my ebooks up there. Check it out. It's good stuff. I've been told, and I have a few good 5-star ratings for some of that stuff up there. It's great. It's good writing. It's me. I'm not bragging, but you know, if you're good, you're good at something. You know, you're good. I've had people tell me that I'm good at doing a radio show. I'm good at writing. I hope you agree with that. If not, then we just have to move on. Okay, let's move right along. I got here on my screen, the Image Master, Will Strayhorn, will be in Chicago on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, sit back and wait for that. Let's hope that happens. You know, I was on Facebook earlier today. I'm always on Facebook. It's just something, a lot of times people, you know what, some people actually troll Facebook. I mean, some people actually live on Facebook. I mean, some people used to say baseball was the national pastime, but you know what I think? I think Facebook is the national time, maybe the international pastime. People are always on Facebook, whether it's on a laptop or an iPhone or something or whatever device they have, if it's connected to the internet, whether it be Wi-Fi or, you know, contract or whatever, people are on Facebook. I mean, Facebook is actually keeping some people alive, probably, you know, so. But, you know, to not to be on Facebook, you must be living on Mars somewhere, not to be on Facebook. Because that's the end thing. Facebook and Twitter. I mean, you can meet people, you can advertise, you know, you can have great friends, rotten friends, but disagree, agree, whatever you want to do, it's Facebook. And you learn a lot on Facebook too, and I've learned a lot and I've taught a lot on Facebook also. But you know, and also, you observe a lot of news bits. And one of the news bits that I observed on Facebook was Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the leader of the Democratic National Conference, I believe. So she, including 88 Democrats in the House of Representatives, voted against refugees, voted against them in some sort of way, or voted for strenuous background checks when people are already doing that. So I guess what I'm saying is you had 88, and I'm looking at this right now on Huffington Post, 88 coward, they call them coward, capital cowards, Dems, you know, blame White House for refugee disgrace. They're blaming Obama. Obama ain't got nothing to do with it. He's saying, bring them on, at least 10,000 of them. And these guys, this is one of the things about the Democrats. They defect. They vote with the Republicans. 88 Democrats turn coat against the President of the United States and voted for against the refugees coming into this country with the Republicans. And the head vote was Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You know, so this is what I've been talking about for a long time, how Democrats do not stick together when it is needed for them to stick together. They don't stick together at all. They break up. They go side with the enemy. You know, this is crazy. And I'm looking at all of these guys, and the Huffington Post is calling them capital cowards. I can call them something a lot nastier, but I won't do that because this is a family show, okay? But this is just crazy. Terrorism anxiety spilling over into U.S. politics. Holocaust Museum condemns the U.S. treatment of Syrian refugees. And we had 88, I'm looking at all 88 of these Democrats who voted against the president. And I don't know these people. These people are, you know, are cowards. And they will be voted out, you know, if people vote. And it can happen. They will be voted out. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz should be voted out first. Because like I've said in one of my Facebook posts, this woman cares nothing about her constituency. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is all about Debbie Wasserman Schultz herself, looking pretty, looking good, looking great with the elite, you know. And like I said before, I think that whenever a Democrat turn coats and vote with the Republicans, vote on something that's totally not right, or voting on something with the Republicans that's going to discriminate against people with color, people of color, I think they should be impeached. I think there should be a law in the Constitution, an amendment saying that if you lie, break your promises, you know, side with the other side, or you lie, or you break your promises, or you do not live up to your democratic values, you should be impeached. Not just when you steal money from the taxpayer or just be corrupt, but when you break your promises, when you lie, break your promises, go against the democratic values that got you that got you elected, you should be impeached. Debbie Wasserman Schultz should be impeached. I can't wait to hear her excuses for voting against President Obama, for voting against people of color, and for siding with the Republicans. Her and 88 other turncoat coward-ass Democrats in the House of Representatives. All right, this is George Walter Jr. of the George Walter Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you for being with me, everybody. Thank you so much. And let's see, what else we have here? Hi, Elizabeth. Now, this is something interesting. Congress is trying to privatize space. Yeah, space. I'm talking about, yeah, above us, space, buying off space. I mean, you'd be able to buy certain or rent or owned certain segments, certain parts of outer space. I'm not kidding. Look this stuff up and find it out. Wow, that is something. All right, more terrorism, this time in Africa, Mali. I mean, this time the terrorist groups, they're Muslims. This time Al-Qaeda is taking the blame for this. Okay, you know, this is at a hotel in Mali, you know, and more death, more carnage, more Muslims taking the blame of it, Al-Qaeda. Okay, in Paris we had ISIS, and now we got Al-Qaeda. What are these groups of thugs and murderers doing? What are they competing? with each other to see who can kill the most, who can cause the most carnage. But I will say this. I will say this. We have to be vigilant on this. Donald Trump is saying something out of the norm again. He's saying, let me see. Okay. He's saying that we should probably find a way to keep an eye on each and every refugee that comes into the country, something to the effect. And Ben Carson is echoing that. And you have to screen them. They want to screen every one of these refugees, you know, and stuff like that. It's not going to happen. It's too much work. They're being screened already. They're being screened by the government already. And why would they have to go through this again? From my understanding, a lot of the Mexicans are heading back to Mexico. I can't blame them. This stuff in the United States is just crazy. It's crazy, you know. And I don't know. I mean, this terrorism is serious. It's serious. Obviously, you don't want tens of thousands of people coming into your country without being vetted, without being background checks, of course. But most of these people are just women and children. And the United States, unlike so many other countries, we're welcoming. You know, there's people who argue, well, there's a lot of countries around the world who will not accept refugees. Well, then that's their problem. But we are not those countries. This is America. And Donald Trump, Ben Carson, and the rest of the presidential field of conservatives, they have a problem with this. They have a real problem with this. But the rest of us do not have a problem with it. And even the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, even he wanted to put a halt to refugees coming into the state of Illinois, but somehow it's not working because certain agencies are accepting them as they come. So I'm thinking that Bruce Rauner is going to pull funding from these agencies that are helping with these refugees if they are actually getting funding. Maybe it's donations from private entities, private parties, private donors. Who knows? I'm hoping that is the case, because that way you don't have to worry about funding being pulled and these people being out in the streets. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm going to take a break right here. I will be back if I can find. It's such a great day, and I really do appreciate everybody being here, everybody listening, downloading. I appreciate your calls. I appreciate your feedback and all this kind of stuff. I'll be right back. Thank you. Be right back. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Okay, that's a little loud. All right. Okay, Paris death toll rises to 130 people. ISIS offed 130 innocent people in Paris, France, last week. 130. And now Al-Qaeda is claiming the carnage in Mali, Africa. And I think 27 to 28 people were killed. What is the world coming to? I mean, like I said yesterday on the show, ISIS wants to conquer the world. But Al-Qaeda, if it is Al-Qaeda, but we know that it's ISIS, are these two group of Muslims, are these two group of terrorists, are they competing against each other to see who killed the most, who can blow up the most? I mean, they're already bombing the hell out of ISIS. They're going to have to go bomb the hell out of Al-Qaeda now. We just got to get rid of these Muslims, okay? I mean, not Muslims per se. When I say Muslims, I'm talking about the terrorists. The terrorists. Now, we know that there's some law-abiding Muslims. We know there's some great Muslims. But we know there's a lot of Muslims out there who are terrorists and bent on destroying and killing. Like I was saying yesterday on the show, I saw this video, this piece of film from Frontline, PBS, public television, where ISIS were recruiting and teaching young children how to shoot guns. It was really, it really blew my mind. Children as young as 3 and 4 years old, toddlers, giving them a gun and say, this is the way you shoot it. This is where you aim it. Teaching them how to blow themselves up. You know, teaching them how to strap on a suicide vest and teaching the children how to blow themselves up, give their lives for their God, destroying and killing. ISIS is serious. And right now, a few of the United States hackers are trying to hack into some of the ISIS networks where they recruit and where they communicate with each other and recruit. Some of the hackers in the United States are disrupting some of those networks, those hacking networks. But I don't know. It may work. It may just work a little for a little while, but I mean, you can disrupt their networks all you want to. They can always get back online with a different name, a different password, and they can always get back up there. But it's something. It's telling ISIS and the rest of the. It's telling ISIS and the rest, we are going to fight back. We are going to fight back, and also ISIS has. Threaten New York, and New York is on high alert. They threaten the hell out of New York. One of the things I know ISIS is doing, and you probably know this too, they are just recruiting people from around the world in cities from around the world to join them and to pick up anything, a gun, a stick, or a knife, and just go kill somebody in their city or town or state. ISIS, like Al-Qaeda and some of these other groups in the Middle East who are bent on terrorism, these guys are nothing but murderers, killers, crooks that should be exterminated. They should be exterminated. Some politics in Washington are calling for ground troops in Afghanistan, ground troops in Syria, ground troops in Iraq, any stronghold where these people, these murderers can be found. any kind of stronghold. France and the United States and a few other allies are bombing the hell out of ISIS and their strongholds as I speak. This is a murderous group that's probably some might regret what they've done. I doubt it, though. I mean, when they do these things, they expect to die. They expect to die. And they don't care who dies around them as long as somebody else dies. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And you look at the faces of some of these people senselessly, uselessly, their young lives taken away. So much potential is lost, has been lost. And France is still under a state of emergency. I'm pretty sure the borders are still closed. Closed, that means that no one else can come into the country until France, the country of France, the city of Paris, is secure. You know, it's secure. This is just awful. All right, millions of parents, millions of Americans still feel that their parents will be deported 1 year after. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're in the country illegally and you don't have the right papers, you should be deported. Simple as that. Chicago is a sanctuary city. The city council just voted to keep Chicago a sanctuary city. Something I don't agree with, but, you know, we got screwed up politicians, and like Spike Lee said, they're bootlickers. And we just have to try to keep ourselves safe. It's not about being racist. It's not about being treating people inhumane. It's about keeping yourself safe, because this is going to happen in Chicago, in Illinois. It's going to happen. I can't say if it's going to happen the next 5 minutes, the next 10 minutes, tomorrow, next day, or next year, or next 10 years. I mean, it's too ripe. It has to happen. And I can't say that letting so many people into the country is going to cause that to happen. But I will say, before anybody should come into this country, each and every person, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, each and every individual should be vetted, should be vetted. I don't care if they're women or they're children. Women or children. Because like I just said, ISIS is training women and children to be killers. ISIS, they're recruiting women and children to be killers in the West, all countries. They're recruiting these people. So you have to, and I'm pretty sure the politicians know this better than I do. You know, you have to be vigilant. You have to do these things. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. The image master, Will Strahan, is on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right here. I should be right back. Thank you, everybody, for being here. All right, here we go. Okay, what we got? Can we do something? The Chirac. All right, be right back. as we all know, the Republicans are ridiculous. They are totally ridiculous. I think the entire world know that the Republicans are ridiculous. Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Christie, Jeb Bush, all of these clowns that are running on the right, they are ridiculous. The whole world knows this. And who do these people think are going to vote for them? There is no way. I mean, everybody I talk to, the social media, everywhere I go, people are criticizing the Republicans and their stand on anything. They're nuts. They're crazy. They're racist. They're not smart. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Donald Trump talks, but he doesn't talk with the experience of being a president, especially a president of the United States. He talks his ass off. Donald Trump, if I can say his name, Donald Trump talks in generalities. He never is specific about anything because he doesn't know anything. Ben Carson, I heard someone say Ben Carson. I can't even think of it now. But Ben Carson, he just says whatever comes out of his mouth. You know, I mean, whatever comes out is what he says. Someone says if he's a brain surgeon, it must not take much to be a brain surgeon. I kind of agree. I mean, who does he think is going to vote for him? The only people that's going to vote for Donald Trump or Ben Carson or Chris Christie, which I'm thinking is going to drop out of the race real soon, like Bobby Jindal, are people who are just as crazy, who are just as stupid, who are just as, people who just don't give a damn about who they vote for. I think a lot of people who are supporting Trump know damn well he's not fit to be president. I think a lot of people who are supporting Ben Carson know damn well that he's not fit to be president. It's not that I'm against all Republicans. It's just that I have not seen one yet that I would vote for if I was a Republican on the Republican side of the aisle of the United States. I just haven't seen it. I don't know if you have. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that hate Obama and would, you know, vote against the devil than to vote Democratic. But there is no doubt about it. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley, these three people who are running for president on the Democratic side of the aisle, they are the adults in the room. I mean, I love watching these people debate because you have some sense there. You have somebody with some people with some brains, some knowledge. They're talking about issues. They're talking about policies. Now, I think in the third debate for the Republicans, the third or fourth debate for the Republicans, there was some subs on issues, but we know they did that. They were just blowing in the wind to get votes, pandering to get votes. There's no doubt my support is behind Bernie Sanders. However, if Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination for President of the United States, I'm throwing my support behind Hillary Clinton. We must get a Democrat in the White House. We cannot have Donald Trump in the White House. Okay, let's see what they're talking about here. How the White House lost Democrats on the Syrian refugee bill. Oh, wow. This is just crazy. All of these Democrats voting against the President of the United States. They've given the Republicans a win. And also, they've given the Republicans a veto-proof majority. Okay, let's say if they, the Republicans, come up with this bill blocking the Syrians for this reason or that from into the United States, the president, and it goes to the Senate, it passes in the Senate, goes to the president, you know, he vetoes it, they still have veto power over his veto, overriding power over his veto. But however, the Senate said it's not going to take up the bill. It said it's not going to pass there. Well, that's something we just have to see. Okay, Washington, in the lead up to Thursday's House vote for tightening restrictions on Syrian refugees seeking entry into the United States, senior Democratic warned fellow members that they face a massive backlash next fall if they didn't support the bill. 47 Democrats. Okay, this is something different. 47 Democrats on top of 88 Democrats. This is just crazy. Voted for the SAFE Act, which aims to impose additional requirements on an already cumbersome refugee screening process. In other words, they're making it a lot harder for a refugee from Syria, from anywhere, to take homage in the United States. Just making it harder. Just like Bruce Rauner. I mean, if you want to get on food stamps in Illinois, it's going to be a lot harder. And other certain other social programs, it's going to be a lot harder. And the same thing they're doing here. The votes came despite notice from the administration that President Barack Obama would veto the measure, raising the question of why the president's term was unable to move his own party, okay, on most high-profile legislative response. Okay, I need my glasses. I'm reading. The computer is way too far, you know. So, you know, so we'll try to do a little bit better job. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm still waiting on my guest, Will Strayhorn. You know, sometimes you book guests and you book them, and sometimes they may not show up. You never know. I mean, this is Friday night, and I'm going to say it again. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm still waiting for my guest, the Image Master, Will Strayhorn, is on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, I'm still waiting. We're still waiting. But, you know, things happen. Things happen. Sometimes people can't make it. Something might happen. He can't make it or whatever. So, but I don't want my listeners to be stood up. I don't like that. You know, I mean, you guys are expecting this guy, you know, and I'm pretty sure he's very interesting. And I would like to ask him some questions myself. But just hang in there. He may be on a little later on. And there's nothing wrong. Like I said before at the beginning of the show, snow is coming. That could slow anybody down. You know, it's Friday night. People are getting off work, and they're glad as hell. For instance, next week is Thanksgiving week. My son is off out of school all week. All week. Somebody feels sorry for me. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We are talking politics. You know what? Bernie Sanders, he really do appeal. He has a great appeal to young people. This guy is just a super politician. I understand that Hillary Clinton is leading in some polls, but the real poll is on Election Day. That's the real poll. You know what I'm saying? Bernie Sanders is the guy. Bernie Sanders is the man. Okay, I have a clip. Let me see if I have a clip. Or did I? Okay. Boop, 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 boop. Okay. No, we don't have a clip on Bernie Sanders, but we do have one on Ted Kennedy. This is Ted Kennedy. Listen to him. He's talking about
the
Republicans.
How much time do I have? 24 minutes, Senator. I asked the chair to let me know when there's 5 minutes left.
And it ain't.
The chair will do so. Mr. President, it is now 10 after 5 on the fifth day that the Senate has been considering raising the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 over a two-year period. We have not, as we have heard in the course of this debate, raised it in the last 10 years. This is just going to restore the purchasing power of those at the lower rung of the economic ladder. What it was really 10 years ago. Won't even give them an increase. Won't even give them a benefit. Just restore the purchasing power. 5 days we've been debating. Rather simple concept that everyone in this institution knows and has voted on a number of times, whether it's over here in the Senate or in the House of Representatives. For 10 years, Republican leadership has refused to let us get a vote on increasing the minimum wage. Let's have no mistake about it, Mr. President. 10 years, the Republican leadership has basically refused to let us get it, even though a majority of the members in this body, a handful of those Republican members, have favored an increase in the minimum wage. But we have been unable to get to the sufficient to break the effective filibuster and deny us the opportunity to vote. These individuals that have been receiving the minimum wage, and their families, and their allies, and their supporters, and the workers of this country, the trade union movement, the AFL-CIO, the church groups, those that represent the great base of this country, and others, particularly Democrats and some conscientious Republicans, have said this is wrong, and we will try and do something about it. And they have, over the period of time, raised the on initiatives in a number of states, in six different states where this issue was on the ballot. They indicated that they wanted the increase in the minimum wage. States have raised the minimum wage. But we have still not had this institution, the United States Senate, go on record to say to working families in this country that they ought to get a raise. $240 billion in tax breaks for corporations, $36 billion in tax breaks for small businesses, increase in productivity, 42% over the last 10 years. But do you think there's any increase in the minimum wage? No. 5 days on the floor of the United States Senate. We've considered immigration issues, as we have now. We've considered Social Security issues. We have considered health issues. We are considering education issues. We are considering additional kinds of tax breaks for wealthy corporations. But do we hear from the other side a willingness, as this side is at this moment, at 12 after 5 today on Thursday? I speak for all of our Democrats and say we're prepared to vote now. Now. 10 minutes, 15 minutes on this issue. But no. As we have been for the last 5 days. No, we've got other amendments, Senator. We've got other amendments. We've got other amendments to offer. We have now had amendments that have been worth over $200 billion. Amendments that have been offered. We've had amendments on education of $35 billion. We've had health savings amendments that'll benefit average for income of $112,000, $8 billion. We've had those kinds of amendments. And we're looking at the Kyle Amendment at $3 billion. But we still cannot get a $2.15 over 2 years. Over 2 years. What is the price? We ask the other side. What is the price that you want from these working men and women? What cost? How much more do we have to give to the private sector and to business? How many billion dollars more are you asking? Are you requiring? When does the greed stop? We ask the other side. That's the question. And that's the issue, Mr. President. Make no mistake about it. They have, on the Republican side, 70 more amendments. 74, 70 more amendments. We have none. We're prepared to vote now. 70 more amendments. Oh, yes, oh, we want increase in the minimum wage. We want this, we want that. But silence over there, or let's have some other kinds of amendments that have virtually nothing to do with this. Do you have such disdain for hardworking Americans that you want to pile all your amendments on this? Why don't you just hold your amendments till other pieces of legislation? Why this volume of amendments on just the issue to try and raise the minimum wage? What is it about it that drives you Republicans crazy? What is it? Something. Something. You're going to require us to go in to have a cloture vote next week. I can see it already. Amendments have already been filed that are going to be related in case we do get cloture to delay this even further. What is the price that the workers have to pay to get an increase? What is it about working men and women that you find so offensive that you won't permit even a vote? Denying the Senate of the United States the opportunity to express ourselves. We don't want to hear any more from that side for the rest of this session about permitting and not permitting votes in here. When you're denying on the most simple concept, an increase in the minimum wage, we don't want to hear any more about that. This is filibuster by delay and amendments. I've been around here long enough to know it when I see it and smell it. And that's what it looks like. That's what it is. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it.
All right. We're back on the air. That was Ted Kennedy. Sorry for the dead air. That was Ted Kennedy talking about the Republicans. He is always so great. He is always so stirring. That's a late Ted Kennedy. All right, you were back on the air. You're listening to George Wilder Jr. The George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for being with me and podcasting the show. Okay, so we were talking about my guest. So, you know, he hasn't shown yet, but we're going to find out what happened, because I know you were out there and you were anticipating this, and so was I. So was I. All right, we got to move on. It's beautiful. The snow has not arrived yet, but I'm pretty sure it's coming. Okay, all right. Bernie Sanders gave a speech, a stirring speech on socialism. And you know what? Hardly any network carried it. They still treat Bernie Sanders like he's not in the race, as if he's nowhere near getting the crowds that Hillary's getting. He's getting larger crowds than Hillary. People are donating to his campaign. $5, $10, $20. But the media still treats Bernie Sanders like, you know, he's nothing, because the media is in the pockets of Hillary Clinton. They want Hillary Clinton to be president. So does Debbie Watson Monschot. They want Hillary Clinton in this. Bernie Sanders is going to fool them. I got a feeling Bernie Sanders is going to come from behind. I'm going to wonder what happened. You know, they're going to wonder what happened. But my thing is, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to always say this. We want to make changes in this country. You want to make some changes in this country. Vote. That's all you have to do to make changes in this country is to vote. This is why we're in the mess we are in. People did not get out there and vote. This is why we have so many Republicans in some of these African American states, so many red states. Many blue states that has become red states, and the Republicans are just wreaking havoc all over the place simply because people did not vote. And most people do not vote in, you know, open elections, midterms, but they have to. You got to stop thinking that you don't have to vote in the midterms. You do. Or no matter who's president, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, if they don't have people to work with, then they won't be able to get anything done. There's going to be more gridlock, more, you know, BS. It's going to be like Obama. Obama's a Democratic president. He has a GOP legislature, and they get nothing done. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. That's what's going to happen if Bernie Sanders gets in. No matter what he says, he's going to do, he's not going to be able to do a damn thing unless he has a Democratic legislature, and just hope that the Democratic legislature do not turn on him and vote with the Republicans. That's what happens. That's one of the things that happened in Illinois that gave Bruce Rauner his first win over unions. A Democrat defected. And I've said this, I don't know how many times I can say this, Democrats just do not stick together when it matters, when it's crucial. They do not stick together. The Republicans are wrong on everything. They're wrong on every issue. But they stick together. They stick together. The Democrats are right on just about every issue. They make more sense. Somehow they just can't stick together. They just can't find the glue to stay together. That's one of the reasons why we lost the House in 2010. Democrats were infighting. They couldn't get along. Suddenly, the Republicans pour in. And nobody wants to take the blame for letting the Republicans pour in. All right. This country has gone too far. Too many people suffered. And too many people have died for us to continue hearing racist words coming from the major political leaders. Bills such as a speech to clarity in his democratic social beliefs, Sanders frequently went off script, returning to the themes of his usual campaign stump speech and attacking the GOP. That's Bernie Sanders. On the issue of immigration, he accused GOP politicians of politicizing immigrants using racist rhetoric. Oh, yeah, they're doing it all. They're trying to, like President Obama said, the Republicans are trying to score political points with these terrorist attacks in Paris and the one in Mali. They're trying to score political points. And it's awful for them to use women, children, and basically decent people to try to score political points. Ted Cruz, he challenged the president to a physical fight, as far as I'm concerned. Well, why don't you come say that in front of my face, Mr. President? Those are fighting words. Those are fighting words. Those are his words. They're fighting words. Yet so many people are saying, well, I don't see the threat. I don't see the threat. My thinking is, where's the Secret Service? You know, that's my thinking. Okay, it appears that we're not going to have Will Strayhorn on for whatever reasons. Maybe he'll email me or let me know in some way why he doesn't, why he didn't appear on the show today. You know, but there's still time. I'm on for about another 30 minutes, so there's still time for him to try to do this. Okay, all right. Violence in Chicago. It is always that's always a topic for interest, a topic for discussion. Violence in Chicago. And
you are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. Okay. On some, we have some shows coming up. We're going to do a show on diabetes. We're going to do a show on Jehovah's Witnesses. We're going to be do a show on just about everything we can find to do a show on. Okay. All right. So I'm going to play this clip on violence in Chicago, because it is violence in Chicago. And it's sad. It's just violence all over the world, and we have to find a way to try to stop it. I'm an advocate for stopping violence in Chicago. All right, here's a clip, and sit back and listen. All right? This is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Chicago was always a violent place, you know what I'm saying? As time go on, it just got more and more violent because the attitude, shit, changed to now everybody don't get no fuck. Don't nobody give a fuck, and with ain't no leaders out here, ain't nobody accountable for their actions. You can do what the fuck you want, basically, you know what I'm saying? So without no repercussions, without no leaders telling you sit your ass down or beating your ass for doing something out of order, you know what I'm saying? So niggas just do what the fuck they want to do.
Got you. You ready?
Rolling.
I'm from the South Side. I grew up, born, raised here. I've been shot like 30 times with this gangbanging shit. Everybody knows. Yes, the music is got a little bit to do with all the violence, because you got to remember, this, all these guys that's making music now were gang members first. Before y'all even heard of them or whoever they is or whoever their name may be, they was gangbanging here. And this is how this city designed. You gonna be something, or you ain't gonna be nothing.
They took all the gang chiefs away. They took the structure. When they took the structure away, man, we developed a systematic I call it a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic downfall, man. They put a glitch in our computer chip when they took all the gang chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they took the projects. They took the gang chiefs first. Then they took the projects. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, we're going to take their structure. Then we're going to put them out in the ghettos and let them kill themselves so we can go and clean them off the streets. And this shit ain't no movie, though. It's real life. We living this shit, man. It's Taliban, Al-Qaeda shit is going on over here. And we in war with each other, man. It's like, so, we don't give no fuck about nobody else.
I was caught at a gas station, and what they call lacking, on 67 to Cottage Grove. Person ran up on my car, shot all up in the car, hit me 7 times on my stomach, my neck, my jaw, my hand, my back, almost hit like 2 inches away from my spine. Like, it was crazy. I was in the hospital for maybe a month, lost massive weight. I weighed like 90 pounds afterwards, like, had to recover therapy. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, it's hectic out here for real. Like, when I talk about Chicago, like, it's really like that here. Like, it's living proof.
My name is Valerie Kyles from Chicago, Illinois, outside our building at 5110 South King Drive. I was the mother of a son. It was gunned down. I really can't comprehend why they're still happening, but something is missing for the young men. These kids have no hope. They don't care if they die, some of them. But you need to have a hope and teach your sons hope that they can live and be men, productive.
We pulled up on the scene and shit. We think we was gonna jump out and shit, and we was gonna beat their ass at first, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was gonna start fighting, and then if somebody would jump, I was gonna get to shooting at a motherfucker, you feel me? But shit, before a motherfucker even get out the car, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker, all you just hear is just, you know what I'm saying? You hear it, pop, 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 you know what I'm saying? They shoot the car up, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying? My homie rushed to the hospital, stopped at the light and shit, tied me up, you feel me, with a sweater, you feel me? And then, you know what I'm saying, my father walked in the hospital and blanked out, you know what I'm saying? Shit. Yeah, yeah, I got popped in the head. Real shit, man. This shit is real out here, man. 15 years old. No flies in, bro. Feel me? This shit is deep, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Chicago is my phone. Y'all right, everybody's scared to come to that. Everybody's scared to come to Chicago. And, you know, it's a war zone in Chicago. Like, 10 years, I want to be a big house. My family out the hood, ain't got to worry about nothing. Sleep good and I ain't got to worry about nothing being shot at, none of that.
Growing up in Chicago, it was like good and bad. I had a lot of fun, but it's kind of dangerous having fun. First thing I remember is being arrested when I was a shorty. Like, that changed when I became a part of the system and shit. You know what I'm saying? I was locked up. I think like four bags of crack. I was like 13. Feel me? So once I became a part of the system, kind of fucked me up, because it was like in and out after that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't got the privilege of having their mother in their life or their father in their life. Some people, mama crackhead, you feel me? Daddy might never not been there. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as that inside household situation go bad, that's when you become an adult, aside from what you're doing outside of that.
Idle time is the devil's playground. When you're doing something with your time, then you can survive. But when you're not doing nothing with your time and you just out here with these, and just every other thug, then you gonna get a thug lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? If you on bullshit, bullshit happens. You think about it, you in this bullshit, bullshit happens. You know what I'm saying? No dead grows. You know? And that's all. You know?
Favorite memories growing up. Just you know what I'm saying, the old days when it used to be cool, like it'd be fun, like you just going kick it, hooping and shit with the guys and shit, like no game banging, none of that. Before motherfucker was on doing smoking weed and all that drinking and shit. Like when it was fun, now it's like, you know, you gotta be on the shit, don't be too fun no more.
Yeah, man.
I'm Hustle Simmons. I'm from the west side of Chicago, went to school in the South Burbs. I'm a branding and marketing, I guess, guy. The Chicago neighborhoods nowadays is just like when you drive through them, you just see kids out there just trying to make it to the next day. You know what I'm saying? And they're not even really getting to enjoy Chicago. They just trying to survive. You know, I'm around the world. I'm working with LeBron, Rick Ross, Diddy, Jay-Z, all these big people. And I get a phone call that my brother got murdered. It just woke me up, and like, no matter where you live, you can live in the burbs, you can live in a penthouse downtown, if violence is gonna find you, it's gonna find you. So I really don't see it getting better, but I'm not gonna stop trying. I'm not gonna stop trying to talk to these kids, and I just hope other people in my position, you know what I'm saying, talk to these kids as well, and who knows.
Being my age in Chicago was like being old. I'm 28 years old. You know what I'm saying? The life expectancy in the hood You know what I'm saying? And statistically, ain't that long. You know what I'm saying? So 25 might be old. You know what I'm saying? 21 might be old. If the casket's getting shorter and shorter nowadays, you know what I'm saying? What you doing out here in the streets is going to lead to two places. Jail or 115th of Fairfield. That's Mount Hope Cemetery. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you just got to watch what you're doing. You got to be aware. You know what I'm saying? Watch what you're doing. Stay aware. Stay alive. You know what I'm saying?
My name is Cecilia Scott.
All right, welcome back to the George Waters Jr. Show. The city of Chicago is embracing itself for maybe a riot. Yeah, I mean, they've got this video that they're going to release and sometime before Thanksgiving on a cop, of a Chicago cop, shooting a teenager in the back 16 times. This happened last year, 2014, but now the video, due to a judge's order and to people, journalists, getting a Freedom of Information Act, that video will now be released. And the police, they are on on black on black crime, more on Black Lives Matter. They're going to release this video, and it's a, from what I'm hearing, it is horrible. 16 times this police officer put bullets into this young man. Even while this man, young man, laid on the ground, the police officer was still shooting. Was still loading bullets into the young man, even though the police department settled with the family a year ago, $5,000, settled with the family. Before the family could even bring a lawsuit, the police department settled with the family. Obviously, they're saying that the police department felt that this police officer was in the wrong. And the thing about it, get this, this police officer is still working, doing desk duty, but still drawing a check. And this is interesting. This is totally interesting. Stay tuned for this. We're going to stay tuned for it, because this, something like this hasn't happened in Chicago in a long time. They're saying that it's going to be a potential for destruction in Chicago once that video comes out. And the police are now on high alert the moment that video is released, ordered by a judge, and confiscated because of the Freedom of Information Act. Obviously, Mary Emanuel was against releasing the video because it was too graphic. It was too horrible. It was too horrific. But now it's coming out. And I pray, I live in Chicago, state of Illinois, and I don't want to see mayhem in the street because of a video. Even the parents of the slain teenager said that they didn't want to see it. They didn't want it released. But, you know, the lawyers and the journalists somehow finagled it, and the judge is now saying, release it, and it will be released. The mayor is saying it will be released. And now the police department is on a high alert because of it. They don't want another Ferguson. But it may be a lot worse than Ferguson. Because the thing that I am hearing, this video of this police officer, white police officer, putting 16 bullets in this young man, 16-year-old man, is gruesome. And the thing about it, this guy is still working. He's still working. This police officer is still working. I don't know what it is with the police department. They can't seem to fire people who are bad cops. They can't seem to fire and get rid of bad cops. They hold on to them for some reason. This was murder. He murdered this kid for no reason at all. From my understanding, the cop was saying that the kid lunged at him with a knife, but there's no record of that in the video of this kid lunging at this police officer with a knife. There's no video of it, but there's video of him putting 16 bullets into this kid. There's video of that. I mean, it seems, I know you think, and you're out there, I know this seems like it just happens too much all the time. When you think it can't happen again, that's when it happens again. Why wasn't this guy taken off the force? And you can say it this way. Why isn't this guy in jail for murder? Why isn't this cop in a prison somewhere for this? Why hasn't there been a trial accusing him? I mean, it's a lot to answer for once this video come out. It's a lot. Why isn't he in jail? Why is he still working? Why hasn't he been tried for murder? It's going to be a lot to come out. And this is a bad, and this is going to be a black eye for the mayor, and this is going to be a black eye for the police department in the city of Chicago if something happens. Because they held this video, and this guy is still working. He's not in jail for murder. What the hell is going on? What? And I'm hearing that this police officer who shot the guy, who is still working, they're saying he's scared as hell. He's afraid. He's afraid. He has a family. They say he has children. Of course. The African-American, the 16-year-old African-American who he put 16 bullets into, even while the kid laid on the ground, he has a family too. He has a family too. They got $5 million. But that's not going to say that's okay because you paid them off. That's not okay. That is not okay. Brutality, murder like this, just keep going on and on and on and on and on. And this cop is still out there. So stay tuned for that, folks, because as soon as something happens, I'm going to have it. I'm going to bring it to you right here on the air. I am really pissed off at this. I am totally pissed off at this. Why hasn't this guy gone to jail? Why is this? He's the mayor of Chicago. He's not the king. He's not the king. He's not the emperor. You know, so a few weeks ago, a gigantic tax, property tax, was passed. $588 million property tax is going to, first part of it is going to take place in 2016, January 2016. I'm pissed off about that because rents are going to go up. Property tax is going to go up. Mortgages, I mean, anything that you use is going to go up. Anything you're going to, and then Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County president, she's raised taxes. One of the reasons why she was voted into office, because she said she would not raise taxes and that she would roll back the taxes that were increased before she took office. And now she done raised them two or three times and giving screwed up reasons to why they have to be raised. That's not my point. That's not my problem. These people are always sticking their damn hands in the pockets of people who already have nothing. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, pissed off today, especially talking about this police officer. Police officer who is still out there. Still out there free after putting 16 bullets in an unarmed African-American teenager. And now the video is about to be released. At least what I'm hearing is going to be released before Thanksgiving. But it will be released. There's no doubt about that. And the police department on alert for this all over the city of Chicago because they think it's going to be a riot. They think it's going to be another Ferguson. I'm praying that there does not be a riot in the city of Chicago. I'm praying that people keep level heads and not damage your city, damage your neighborhood, damage your community. That's not Chicago. Okay? Obviously, this event took place a year ago, but the video will now be released. They didn't want to release the video because they was afraid that this would be another Ferguson, but now they decided, with the help of journalists, with the help of lawyers, with the help of the Freedom of Information Act, this video will be released. So, you know, the violence goes on in the city of Chicago. I hate it. I can't stand it. You know, but I'm here to talk about it, and I'm here to try to help alleviate it, if not alleviate some of it. And then on top of the violence in Chicago, the no budget in the state of Illinois, we've got terrorists running around. And you tell yourself, what the hell is, you know, coming of the world? What's becoming of the world? And I say this all the time. But we're all on alert for this video. They say it's very graphic. And I'm thinking right now, if I want to see it, yeah, I'm going to see it because it's my job to, you know, to get on the radio and right here and tell you guys about it. I may not, you know, be able to tell you guys about it because you know what? You guys can probably go see it for yourself. It's going to be all over the internet. It's going to be all over the media. We can just talk about it. You know, we can just talk about it, give our thoughts. And my thought will always be, why isn't this police officer who put 16 damn bullets in the back of this young African-American, why isn't this guy in prison? Why hasn't he been charged for murder? Why is he still working? Those are a lot of questions that I have. I'm pretty sure you do, too. Those are a lot of questions that I have. So we're going to be standing pat for that. I mean, the news around this place gets exciting all the time, but this is sad. This is very sad when you cannot trust your police department. You cannot trust the mayor. You cannot trust politicians that you voted into office because it seems like all these people ever do is work against you. It seems like they just work against everything. But they still continue to draw their paychecks. Can you get to that? So we'll just have to see what's going to happen. And I'll give you a heads up in case you haven't researched it, figured it out, or you haven't seen it or saw it. I'm going to talk about it on the show anyway. If it comes out tonight, I'll be talking about it tomorrow. If it comes out tomorrow, I'll be talking about it on Sunday. Okay, and if it comes out on Monday, talking about it on Thursday. But we will be talking about it, and that is no joke. All right, here's some more on wait a minute, let me see. All right, it's just a shame. The violence just goes on. Yep.
Open eyes. that he's provided. We're always hurting each other. Seems that we just can't be together. Always fighting with each other. But look upon us with compassion. And please hear us.
Yeah, the headlines saying, the headlines are saying Chicago cops brace for trouble with the release of shooting video. Okay, I've just got through, giving you my thoughts on it, and who knows? I don't know. The video could be released tonight. It could be released tomorrow. It does, you know, but this is really bad. This is awful. I mean, and they've of this teen being shot 16 times. I could say this forever. 16 times. They held this video for a whole year. And now it's being released through a Freedom of Information Act. I mean, a couple of lawyers and journalists had to go to court to get this video of this child being shot to death 16 times. And now it's going to be shown. And it's not going to be good, people. It is not going to be good. No way, no freaking way. And I'm just hoping that, you know, if it is released, and it will be, it totally will be, that people don't lose control and just wreck everything. Just like I just got through saying, do not wreck your community, your neighborhood, your city, where you live, because why destroy where you live? That's where you live. You destroy it. I mean, there's a good chance of people moving out. You destroy it. There's a good chance of it never being put together again, or no construction ever coming around again. And that's what's the matter with too many of these high crime areas in the city of Chicago. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Most of the people who have lived in those high-crime areas, if any of them had any sense, they would probably move. And I'm pretty sure a lot of them have moved. They have gone. Communities are susceptible to getting worse if a riot starts because of this video. And it's a possibility. It is a great possibility. Some of these people, some of these teenagers, they don't have anything else to do but to cause trouble. They're looking for any excuse to riot, to shoot, to thug, to holler, to damage. They are looking for any excuse to riot and get out there and destroy their own neighborhood, destroy their own communities, shoot at the police. You got some thugs out there that's ready to do this. Because they have nothing else, no jobs, no education. And this video is going to give them opportunity to do what they always wanted to do anyway, destroy, mess up, argue. You know, this is what's going to happen. Or what could happen. Or what we do not want this to happen, not in the city of Chicago, not like Ferguson. But we are going to be bracing for this shooting video. It's wrong in every sense of the word. It is totally wrong. And it would be wrong for African Americans to get out in the street and destroy property. All right, this is George Walter Jr. of the George Walter Jr. Show signing off. Everybody, thank you for being with me. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. All right, we're going to go off the air with let's see what we can go off the air with. All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks. Bye.